The Epistle of 1 Peter. I had entitled that study, Standing Through the Coming Storms. And really, Peter, throughout this epistle, gives great encouragement and draws their attention to the principles of God's Word for living in the trials and the difficulties and the turmoil, in other words, the storms of life that are going to come, and principles upon which they can fix their hope and be encouraged and find strength for the day-to-day ministry of living for Christ and being light and salt in this world. As we've gone through the study, it's been a fascinating study over the last year. We certainly haven't been in any great hurry. We take it verse by verse, word for word pretty much, and we're studying the text and then the implications of that text and the application of that text for our lives in this life and in the 21st century. But you know, we were talking today about what it is that causes churches and ministries and families to decline, to basically be derailed and to deviate from the ministry of reconciling the world to Christ and really declining and being derailed off of the Great Commission of reaching the world for Christ with the gospel. And we were making the observation that it's really not typically a decline because of doctrinal deviation, at least at first. But rather, it's often because churches and church leaders and ministry leaders and even we as parents and families begin listening to the dominant voices of the culture around us. And those things that are popular, those things that are politically correct, and those things that draw attention to our desires and our aspirations perhaps in life, and we begin to be influenced by these dominant voices of the contemporary culture. And we allow ourselves to be influenced by them in the decisions we make, in the choices we make, in the behaviors we pursue, in life calling that we decide we're going to pursue, and in terms of occupation and relationships and our church connection, perhaps, or other ministry connections. And really, this is where I think that the fall begins if we're going to be led astray and find ourselves in life of discouragement and life that's distant from the body of Christ and life that's been disappointed with perhaps the circumstances that God has allowed in our life. And we can't emphasize strong enough the need to understand this spirit of the age, to understand this culture we live in. You know, we were talking about some of the characteristics or the qualities of the spirit of the age of the 21st century. And people in my adult Bible fellowship class were calling out all kinds of characteristics, and they were right on target. Some said emotionalism, and others selfishness or narcissism. Others would say the consumer mindset, that everything is a choice and everything is presented, and I see everything as a menu in life, and I get to go and pick and choose and do that for the purpose of satisfying my own desires and my own fleshly interests. And it just seems that we live in a culture as well that's so shallow. It's so on the surface, and there's a lack of depth in terms of those concepts and those ideologies or those philosophies, the truth that I pursue. We live in a very lazy culture, especially this younger generation that just has an anticipation of everything being done for them. The entitlement mentality that I deserve it, therefore you owe it to me, and especially with regard to their relationship with government. You know, and of course, politicians just cater to that with the hollow promises and pandering to these interests that people have. And so they'll come and they'll promise this money and this benefit and that benefit if you'll vote for me. It's just a very troubling spirit of the age that we live in today. And really, talk to young people or college students or, you know, even typical people in the church, you know, and it's like they don't want anything to be difficult. They don't want it to be hard. You know, don't make it deep. Just give me the devotional version as opposed to a deep and profound exegetical study of God's Word. They want to keep it light. They want to keep it enjoyable. They want this feel-good atmosphere, you know? And then you've got the ones that are just so bound up in their own little world that they don't want to be offended by any ideas or any suggestions outside their little comfort zone. In other words, the mindset is, don't offend me, don't upset me. I was reading an article a few weeks ago that college professors were really in a quandary because they had students who were filing complaints against them with the college because the professors were upsetting the students with some of the things that they were saying or some of the works of history that they were referencing in their classes. I mean, it's mind-boggling at the one place where there's supposed to be a spirit of academic inquisitiveness and openness and desire to hear other opinions, etc., that now you've got these students today that are upset if they hear something that offends their little psyche. Oh, it's just really sad. And the sadder thing is that there's so many contemporary churches, there's so many contemporary Christians, and even pastors who give in to this whining, soft, self-centered, temperamental mindset in their own congregation. And the result of it is, it's just basically a dumbing down of everything spiritual in the church. And really, in effect, what you end up with is junior church, a mass of adults sitting in what amounts to nothing more than junior church. I was referred recently to a book entitled The Juvenilization of American Christianity. And essentially, the summary of it is just what I just explained, the basically dumbing down of everything within the church so that it just becomes church light, or in effect, junior church. Everything's just been brought down to the lowest possible denominator so as not to offend or not to upset or not to challenge anybody's comfort level. I hope that we all understand that really the problem is the failure to teach and boldly proclaim the depths of God's Word. And that the failure to do that only breeds in a congregation that which is weak and ignorant and indifferent. It breeds a congregation and the people of God that are insensitive and oblivious to God's glory, to the majesty of God. You cannot deeply love and adore and worship a God whom you only know on the surface. Folks, we need a greater and deeper understanding of the mysteries of God, not church light. We need more theology. We need a greater, ever-increasing knowledge of God's being, of His character, of His majesty, of His glory. This is the duty of man. This is the duty of the believer in Jesus Christ. And not only is it the duty, it is the destiny. For those that are genuinely redeemed, those that are born again of the Spirit of God and have been rescued by the precious blood of Christ, that is our destiny, because one day we will be conformed to the image of His Son. That is God's will. That's what God has predestined. And I often wonder, what are people thinking? What are believers thinking? They just don't understand. This is the believer's duty. This is the believer's destiny. And therefore, it ought to be the believer's delight in this life. In recent days, we've been looking as a class at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. And Peter here is giving four practical exhortations for living in the end times. And we're going to look at that in more detail here in the next couple of sessions that we have together. But basically what Peter is doing is he's kind of wrapping up a number of shorter passages that are dealing with the end times. And he is giving them exhortations as to the so what and the now what, so to speak. This is the truth, he says, about our suffering, about the need to follow in Christ's steps, about living righteously and following God's commands. And then he says to them, okay, now here's the way that needs to look. Therefore, be self-controlled, be sober-minded with regard to your relationship with God so that you can pray. And then he says, with regard to your brothers and sisters in Christ, persist in love, be graciously hospitable to one another, and serve one another with the gifts of grace you have received. And that's where we'll be going here in a little bit more detail in the next couple of sessions that we have together. But until we meet again, thank you so much for tuning in. Have a good and godly day.